Tonight, we're going to be talking more about the Holy Spirit. And currently in our Wednesday night services, we've been exploring the person and the work of the Holy Spirit and the relationship of Christians that we should have to the Holy Spirit in our lives. And if you are a Christian, whether you know it or not, whether there's been an emotional experience in your life of some kind, you have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. More than just teachings about certain beliefs or thinking the right things, Christianity is defined by God's Spirit living in you. In fact, the Apostle Paul wrote this at Romans 8:9. He said, "You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him." In other words, to be a Christian is to have the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ dwelling in you. If you do not have the Spirit of Christ living in you, then you are, by definition, not a Christian, because when you become a believer in Jesus, God places his Spirit in you. There is a transformation that takes place in your life. And so tonight, I want to study with you what it means to walk in the Spirit. Now, we've already looked at some things, like we talked about some of the basics of the Holy Spirit. For instance, that the Holy Spirit is a person. He is not a force. He's not an it. He is the third member of the Trinity. He has a personality. He's a person that speaks to us. We can have relationship with him. And if you're a believer in Jesus, you do have relationship with him, even if you haven't yet come to fully understand what that looks like or what it means for your life. He is a person. We've also seen how he is the breath of life. He gives life, not only in terms of he gives life to creation, as we saw in the first chapters of Genesis, but also in the fact that he gives life to those who believe in Jesus Christ. He raises us to spiritual life with God, and he is the down payment of the resurrection where we will have life again with God for eternity. And maybe you are a little bit wondering what walking in the Spirit looks like. So we've got the Holy Spirit. He's in our lives if we're Christians, but what does it look like to have a relationship with him? What does it mean to walk in the Spirit? Does it mean you've got a kind of a little get up in your step as you walk? Is that what we're talking about? Is, you know, you got a little shimmy, you walk a little cooler than you did before? I remember when I was a boy, our backyard, we had a fence, and our neighbors in the adjacent yard, they had a teenage son. And I guess he was just shorter than the fence, because if he had walked like a normal person, he could have walked through the backyard and you'd have never known that he was there. But he had this like spring in his step. And so he walked like this. He would really kind of get up on his, he would walk like this. And so as we were out in the backyard, you could watch, if he was out back, you'd see his head like a bobber in the waves, just kind of coming up over the fence. He had this kind of walk. And so maybe you're wondering, what does it mean to walk in the Spirit? Does it mean it changes the way that I look or the way that I walk down the hallway? Maybe you think that it means getting that spring in your step. In likelihood, you don't think of walking in the Spirit that way. You understand that this is a metaphor for how you live. But you may wonder, what is this supposed to feel like? What is walking in the Spirit supposed to be like? And this is a notoriously difficult question. How do you describe to someone a subjective experience that you've had? Maybe you've had somebody describe to you what it feels like to receive the Holy Spirit, or what they felt like when they went to church. And of course they felt that way. How could you argue that they felt that way? And yet, trying to describe something that you feel is really difficult to communicate that someone else should feel that way or exactly what that means, especially when it's not like cutting yourself or burning yourself, which are physical feelings we could describe, but when it's a spiritual feeling, then how do you describe that to someone? So tonight, I don't want to focus on what does it feel like, because I can't tell you what it feels like, and even if I tried, I don't know what good it would be to you. We're not talking about just a feeling. We're talking about something else. Maybe you wonder if walking in the Spirit means that you become one of those really peppy people that sees miracles everywhere. I mean, why just on my way to church tonight, I hit every green light. It must have been the Holy Spirit. It must have been the Holy. I would have been to church on time, except I got stuck behind a tractor trailer on the South End Bridge, but I hit every green light. Had to be the Holy Spirit. Or we have civil engineers who try to build our roads and our lights so that it doesn't take all day to get someplace. Maybe you think that walking in the Spirit means that you're like that. You see miracles everywhere. And I think it's worth noting that just as we observe different personalities in the world and we see different personalities outside the church, so too within the Christian community, there are differing personalities that respond to worship and the presence of the Holy Spirit in different ways. Some are very expressive, some talk about dramatic experiences, some refer to nudges, impulses, prompts, whispers, and the still small voice of the Spirit at work in their lives. Some aren't quite sure what to make of these kinds of things. So what I don't want to focus on is how different personalities and emotional profiles experience the presence of the Holy Spirit or try to describe feelings. But what I do want to do is to try and bring some clarity to how the Spirit's presence in the life of a believer enables us to live in freedom from sin, to overcome old patterns and habits, and to conform us to the character of Jesus, because that's what walking in the Spirit entails. It doesn't entail a particular kind of feeling that we find difficult to describe in church. It entails you walking in freedom and in righteousness before God. That's what living in the Spirit means. You should walk by the Spirit. And when I say walk, I mean live by or make decisions by, view life through the Holy Spirit. So let's look at the progression of the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of believers and how we cooperate with the Holy Spirit as we learn to walk in the Holy Spirit. Because the idea that we are told in Scripture to walk by the Spirit implies that while the Spirit, as we will see, while the Holy Spirit does some things for us in our lives and causes some transformation in our lives, we are also required to cooperate with what the Holy Spirit is looking to do in us. The first act that the Holy Spirit does, or the first thing that we might look at as we cooperate with the Holy Spirit, is that you're under the new covenant of the Holy Spirit. Now, a covenant is a contract, a promise, it's an agreement. God has made multiple covenants. He's made multiple promises to people throughout the Bible, throughout history. And by these, he indicated how he was going to deal with people. In essence, covenants define the nature of a relationship. What's this relationship between two parties or two people going to be like? That's a covenant. When a man and a woman get married, they enter into a covenant legally. But more importantly, they enter into a covenant before God that details how they will treat one another. So they may say things like this: I take you to be my wedded wife, to have and to hold this day forward, for better or for worse, for richer or for poorer, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish, till death do us part. So there they've kind of defined the terms of their relationship as, we will be together until one of us dies, and in the meantime, we will love each other no matter what. Not the most romantic way of putting it, but it's what they mean when they say that. We're going to remain together and love each other until one of us dies. And so that is a definition of what their relationship is supposed to be. And when God makes a covenant with people, he is defining the terms of their relationship in a similar way. When many people think about a relationship with God, they think something like, I'll be good enough, and then God will accept me. And this is not the kind of relationship that God has ever described or defined in the Scripture, though it's a very, very common misinterpretation of what it means to have a relationship with God. In fact, it's so common because God gave his people Israel a law by which they were to live, and they didn't keep it. And so some groups started emphasizing the need to keep the law as a means of God's approval, and then they added some extra things to it just for kind of good measure to make sure that they were keeping the law. And that was never God's intention, that the law would be the means by which they gained a relationship with God. Furthermore, when people do try to keep God's law by their own strength and their own power, they inevitably fail. And you've probably had this experience in your life. You know that God's law says that you shouldn't do something. Say, covet, want something that your neighbor has, or gossip. And so you know, I shouldn't gossip, but you keep gossiping. And even though you feel bad about it, you keep talking about people to make yourself look and feel better. And it's a common problem. It's common to humanity. The Apostle Paul describes it at Romans 8, 3-4. He says, for God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending his own Son, the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. The law could tell people what to do or what not to do, but it couldn't actually help us to do it or not to do it. It's just a law. Doesn't make it bad. It's just a law. It has no power to help you actually keep it. It can tell you, stop at this sign, but it's up to you whether you do it or not. And what we've seen in our human nature, what the Bible calls our flesh, is that our flesh has no intention of keeping God's law. Under God's old covenant, the law wasn't evil, wasn't bad. In fact, according to what we just read from Romans 8, 3 to 4, it says that it had righteous requirements. That is, God's law was good. It was right. The problem wasn't the law, the problem was the flesh. And flesh means simply you trying to live without God. It's you living based on the impulses of your body, and that's it. Your body's not bad. That's not what the scripture teaches us. But when you try to live based only on the impulses of your body, of your flesh, that's bad because that's not how God intended you to live. And so when it talks about flesh, it's not saying your physical body's evil. It means you determining your own path, you making your own way. It's being separate from God and then choosing your own purpose as if you are God. That's walking in the flesh. And under God's old covenant, he graciously freed his people, Israel, from their slavery in Egypt. He gave them a law that demonstrated how they could live in relationship with him. But they didn't, and they couldn't do it. Neither can you. You will never be able to be good enough for God. Neither can you be good without God. And that's not to say that people who don't believe in God can't ever do a good thing. They can, obviously. But you can't live a life that's pleasing to God without a relationship with God. And thank God, you don't have to try to do that. Listen to what Romans 8, 1 to 4 has to say again. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, weak as it was by the flesh, God has done. By sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Condemnation. This is a guilty verdict. It's a synonym for your guilty. And because of our rebellion and separation from God, a guilty verdict rests over all of humanity. But God, for those who believed in Jesus, removes that guilty verdict. God did what the law could not do. And it could tell you what you should do. It could tell you what you should not do. But it couldn't provide power or the relationship necessary to actually do it. But through Jesus, God has made you right with himself. He's restored you into a relationship with him. The righteous requirement of God's law has been fulfilled in your life through his Holy Spirit who lives in you. Now, I want you to look with me at 2 Corinthians 3, 4 to 6, and verses 17 to 18 as well. And as we read, I'm going to add a couple of clarifications. So if you notice a couple of phrases that aren't up there that I say, it's because I'm just bringing some clarification to what Paul is saying. He says this, "Such is the confidence that we have through Christ toward God, not that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything as coming from us, but our sufficiency is from God, who has made us sufficient to be ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter," he means the letter of the law there, the law, "but of the Spirit." And he's not talking here about the spirit of the law, like what we think the law means. That's not what he means. He's not saying it's not of the letter of the law, but the spirit of the law. He means it is not of the letter of the law, but of the Spirit of God. So God's Spirit, not the Spirit of the law. So not of the letter of the law, but of the Spirit of God. For the letter, that is the law, kills, but the Spirit, that is the Spirit of God, gives life. Now the law doesn't kill because it's a murderer or is bad. It kills because the flesh can't keep it and the law demands a penalty. That's the reason it kills. Now, the Lord is Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another, for this comes from the Lord who is Spirit. So, the Lord has made a new kind of covenant between himself and his people. That covenant comes through Jesus, but it's realized in our lives. It's affected. It's brought to bear. It's put in place in our lives through the Holy Spirit. We're forgiven. We are made right with God, righteous because of what God has done for us in Jesus. But we are also then given a relationship with God through the Holy Spirit living in us. So when we speak as Christians of you're supposed to be in relationship with God, this is relationship, not religion, what we don't mean is relationship as some kind of substitute for religion, as some kind of term that's roughly equivalent to religion. What we mean is God has put his Spirit in you and dwells in you, therefore you have a relationship with God because he lives in you. So we don't mean something ambivalent. We don't mean something nebulous. We mean something very specific. Relationship with God comes to us because the Holy Spirit lives in us, and the Spirit changes us. We are reborn. Then we go from, as Paul said, glory to glory. That's how we grow to be more like Jesus. And perhaps this will help you understand the importance of this covenant that God makes with his people. At Romans 8, 15 to 16, Paul tells us that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of adoption, and that the Spirit of adoption bears witness in our own spirits that we are children of God. You don't become a child by being good enough. My kids are not my kids because they're good enough to be my kids. My kids are my kids because they were born into my family. And this is what the scripture says of you and I, that when we come to faith in Jesus Christ, we are reborn into a new family. Now, it does use the word adoption as well, but the implication is the same. You weren't adopted because God said, oh, you know what? You're good enough, so I'll adopt you, and you're a nice young man, so I'll adopt you. He didn't do that. The implication is you are a part of God's family simply because God loves you, not because of anything that you've done. This is what we mean by grace. And so, because of God's grace, you have been brought into God's family, not because you were a good little boy or a good little girl, but because you're just part of the family. And so your goal as a Christian is not to try to be good enough to get into God's family. That's the starting point. Good news, if you're in Jesus, you're already in. You're already God's son. You're already God's daughter. So what God wants from you is to stop pretending like you've got to somehow be good enough to become his son or his daughter. Now, my kids, they're in my family. And the fact that they're already in my family means dad has some expectations for them, right? And so there are certain things that Tays do. Tays go to church on Sunday morning. Tays come to Royal Rangers and Girls Club on Wednesday nights. Tays read their Bible. Tays pray together as a family. There are some implications. Tays don't slack on their homework. These are things that are part of the expectation. But those are not things that my kids do to try to become my kids. Those are things my kids do because they are my kids. And this is the same thing that's true of the covenant that God has made with you and I. Stop trying to be good enough to become God's son or daughter. You are God's son or daughter if your faith is in Jesus. Now, you are in possession of what is necessary to live up to the purposes and plans that God has for you. And so this is the first stage of what the Holy Spirit does in our lives. We need to be aware of this fact that there's a new covenant. And that new covenant means that we must be very, very careful as Christians that we don't fall back into legalism. Legalism of trying to think that I'm going to somehow earn God's pleasure enough that he will receive me, enough that I can be his son. He's already received me. I'm already his son. And if you're in Christ, he's already received you. You're already his daughter. You're already his son. And so you don't try to become that. You live like that. Because you already are. That's the foundation. Now, the next progression in this is that the Holy Spirit wants us to think in a different way. You should think according to Spirit. I've taken the time to talk to you about this new covenant because it is critical to walking in the Spirit and is foundational for thinking like the Holy Spirit wants you to think. At Romans 8, 5 to 8, we learn that since we have this new covenant with the Holy Spirit, we should have a new way of thinking. Look, Paul says, For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. This is why the law couldn't help you. You are in the flesh. You couldn't do it. You couldn't please God. If you're living in the flesh, that is, if you're living your life without God, it's not surprising that you won't be able to please God. But as we just learned, you're under a new covenant. You've been brought into the family. You've got a new spirit, the Spirit of God in your life. So it's not you without God in this life anymore. The Holy Spirit lives in you. And since that's the case, you should set your mind on the Spirit. Now, mindset is often the most difficult thing to change, isn't it? Because we get stuck in our old ways, our old patterns of thinking. Old habits die hard. And there is not an older habit than the way you used to think. You were raised under the tyranny of sin and death. Culture espouses it. The media covers it. Magazines display it in a flashy way on their covers. Oprah talks about it on daytime television. Look, you are inundated constantly with a fleshly way of thinking. It's everywhere. It just is everywhere. Think of it like train tracks. Your mindset before you knew Jesus was like a set of train tracks, and you were the train that was traveling down those tracks, and they were set in place, they were headed in one direction, and it wasn't a good one. If you're living your life according to the flesh, your mindset is on the flesh, and the mindset that's set on the flesh is like a track that leads to death. It's inevitable. You might not like it, you might wish that it were different, but as long as you were living in the flesh, your mindset was one of death. And remember, death isn't just when you stop breathing, it's the corruption and brokenness that comes into all of life and kills God's good intentions for us. And try as you might, you can't steer your train off those tracks of the mindset that had been laid down for you of the flesh. That's what Paul says in Romans 8:5-8. You are living in the flesh, you had the mindset of the flesh, which produced the fruit of the flesh, which is death. And your mindset was hostile to God. It was against God. It wouldn't submit to God or to his laws. You didn't even want to. Your life was like a train on tracks that were headed over the edge of a cliff, and you could try to turn the steering wheel, but you weren't going anywhere but where those tracks had been laid down. But now you are in Christ. You're on a different set of tracks. Now you're not living in the flesh, you're living in the Spirit. And again, this isn't about what you have done, it's about what God has done for you. It's not about your effort, but what God has made available to you. Now that you're living in the Spirit, God's put a new mindset, made it available to you. And that set of tracks is running opposite of death. It's running opposite where you were headed before, because the mindset on the Spirit is life and peace. It's life because God has condemned sin in the flesh through Jesus. And we are now alive by the Holy Spirit of God dwelling in us. And it's peace because whereas we were once hostile to God, now we're reconciled into relationship with him, and our relationship and our purpose has been restored, so we are at peace. And this is why Paul at Romans 6:11 said, you must also consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Consider, what does that mean? Think about yourself this way. Think of yourself as being dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Why? Because you are. Because this is what God has done for you in Jesus. You have a new mindset, a new way of thinking. You no longer have to believe the lie that you're cursed, that your family cursed you and your situation cursed you and there's no hope for your future. That lie is undone in Jesus. You have a mindset of life and peace. You no longer have to carry the mindset of broken relationships. You have a mindset of peace, of reconciliation. You're no longer subject to the mindset of fearing the future and anxiety over your resources or worry about what others think about you. You have a mindset of life and peace. You no longer have the mindset of wondering whether you are good enough to be with God. You have the mindset of the Holy Spirit, who has brought you peace with God by making you his son or his daughter. You're free from your old way of thinking. And all that you have to do is receive that and walk in it. It's faith. It is received by faith. You have a new mindset of life and peace, so take it up. Walk in that new mindset. Begin to think this way. Don't submit to the old way of thinking anymore. You're not on those old tracks any longer. Your life is headed in a totally different direction than it was before because you've been secured by the death of Jesus on the cross. Now, I know that every analogy breaks down somewhere, and you might be asking yourself, well, why, if I've got this new mindset and it's like tracks headed in the opposite direction, why do I still sometimes find myself thinking in old ways? Why isn't this some kind of automatic response? And this is where faith comes in. You must trust that Jesus has saved you and then begin thinking according to the Holy Spirit. You might ask, what does that feel like? What do I have to do? Well, I don't know that I can tell you exactly what it feels like. Again, that's not the point. I can tell you this. Before, you were not interested in God, right? The mind set on the flesh is hostile to God. So before you knew Jesus, you weren't interested in God. Not only were you not interested, you didn't want anything to do with God. Your actions demonstrated that. The way that you ran from God over and over, even if you said to someone else at some point, oh, you know, maybe I am a little interested in God. Your actions betrayed you because you ran from God over and over again. And so before you knew him, you were not interested in him. You didn't care if your life was pleasing to him. You didn't think when you went out and sinned, I wonder if God approves. Sinners don't think that way. They're sinning, and we were sinners, and when we were living in sin, we did not care if God approved of our lives. We were in rebellion against God. But now that you've come to know him and his Spirit lives in you, you care. And maybe you find yourself strangely recognizing, as you've come out of that old life, strangely recognizing right and wrong where you didn't before. You find that you want to live a life that pleases God even when you know that you've fallen short. You care now. I want to please God. Your spirit cries out, I want to please God. There's an inner impulse, a desire, a nudge to honor God. That's the Holy Spirit. That's the new mindset that the Holy Spirit brings. Without the Spirit, you wouldn't care. With the Spirit, you care to honor God in your life because he is your Father and you want to be like him. So, go with it. When you sense, I care that I've gone the wrong direction, I care to honor God in this situation, go with the way, go with the mindset that says, I want to honor God here. Begin thinking, I'm dead to sin and I'm alive to God in Christ Jesus. By faith, remember, I'm not a slave to my impulses, I'm not a slave to my habits, I'm not a slave to sin. Because as we sang earlier, and as Paul says in Romans chapter 8, or in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, rather, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So when you find yourself drawn back again into sin and you recognize it and you sense that impulse of the Spirit in your life that makes you want to do right, makes you want to change, don't let the enemy convince you that you can't or that God has pronounced you guilty. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There's a new covenant and you have a new mindset. So start thinking that way. Because God's given that to you as a gift. He's given you the mind of Christ. He's given you the Holy Spirit to give you a new mindset. If you have a genuine desire to please God, you know that that is the Holy Spirit's work in you. So think that way. And then finally, we get to this, that you should walk in the freedom of the Spirit. The new covenant and the new mindset lay the foundation for walking in him. You should walk in that freedom. Listen to Romans 8, 12 to 15. So then, brothers, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father. So while you have this foundation, that doesn't mean that you become a spiritual automaton who can only be led by the Spirit. You must still submit your will to the Holy Spirit's ways and learn to actually follow him and do his will. But this new covenant and the new mindset that God has given you allow you to bring that to bear in your life, to take action on it. This new covenant and the new mindset are yours, but Christians can still walk in the flesh for periods of their lives. Listen to 1 Corinthians 3, 1-3. It says, "But I, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it, and even now you're not ready. For you are still of the flesh, for while there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving only in a human way?" So it seems that what Paul is saying is that while being Christians, this group of people were still listening to or walking in at times their flesh and making decisions according to their flesh rather than according to the Spirit. That is, they were allowing their old, sinful, and merely human impulses to direct their lives. And we can do this as well. And it doesn't mean that we're not saved, that God's dipping us in and out of hell or something like that. It does mean, though, that we're not acting saved, right? Doesn't mean that we're not saved. It means we're not acting saved. Doesn't mean we're not a son. It means I'm not acting like a son. Doesn't mean you're not a daughter. It means you're not acting according to the grace, the new covenant, and the Spirit that your Father has given you. And so, when we make decisions according to our sinful nature, we're not acting according to that new birth or the new mindset. And if we continue in that direction, we'll die, according to Romans 8:12. It says, if you follow the direction of the flesh, you will die. And the alternative is that we put to death the deeds of the body or the flesh. And the way that we do that is resisting the impulse of our flesh and acting on the impulse of the Holy Spirit. Listen to Galatians 5:16. "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." What do I mean? What does it mean to walk according to the impulse of the Spirit? And I think that we all know what an impulse of the flesh is. It's when you know you've got a sinful habit, and you feel that initial cue, that spark, that urge to do it. That's an impulse. It's that flush of anger welling up in you. It's that urge to navigate to that website or turn your head for a longer look or turn your imagination for a longer look. It's that insecurity that wells up in you that makes you want to be defensive or to criticize or complain or gossip. You know, it's that initial hit, that pull, that draw towards something you know is not good. That's an impulse of the flesh. But now, because the Holy Spirit lives in you, there is an opposing impulse or an opposing urge in you. When you sense that opposition to your flesh, that's the Holy Spirit. So listen to Him. Obey Him. Look, you can know it's the Spirit because other things are not going to oppose your flesh. They're going to feed your flesh. They're going to feed your pride. They're going to feed your insecurities. They're going to feed your addictions. It's the Holy Spirit who steps in and begins to oppose them and give you that impulse that says, don't do that. I have something better for you. Don't go that way. You're a son, you're a daughter of God, and God has a different way for you to live. Live like His son, live like His daughter. And you might ask yourself, well, how will I know it's the Holy Spirit for sure? How will I know this impulse, this nudge that's leading me toward this is really the Holy Spirit? Well, this is subjective to some degree. This is a relationship. It's not a science. And there are some things that can help you. If you know what's right because it's in God's word, the Holy Spirit is the one who's trying to get you to do what's right. That is, you're never going to hear the Holy Spirit say something to you that is opposed to the Word of God. The Scripture was inspired by the Holy Spirit. He's not going to contradict Himself like that. So if you're being nudged towards something that is expressly against the Scripture, then you know this is not the Holy Spirit. Or if you find yourself saying, I know it's in the Bible, but you know you're acting according to the flesh, not the Spirit. There's no time that we should be saying to ourselves, well, I know this is in the Bible, but that just means that's the flesh, not the Spirit. If you can identify an action or attitude that would honor Jesus and one that wouldn't, you'll know the Holy Spirit is the one directing you toward the action that honors Jesus, because this is what the Holy Spirit does. This is His M.O. No one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Paul didn't mean with your lips. He meant with your life. You'll say with your life, Jesus is Lord, by the Holy Spirit's impulse in you, and you'll know that it's His voice leading you to honor Him and be more like Jesus. I think that more often than not, you'll know what you should do in a situation, and if you will listen, you will know the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking against the voice of your flesh. You'll know the impulse of the Spirit against the impulse of the flesh. And if you find yourself making excuses for why you can't do what is right, you'll know you're thinking with the mind set on the flesh, and you're beginning to walk in the flesh. And when that happens, put your flesh to death by deciding against it and walking in the Spirit. God has given you the ability to do this. And I love the way that Paul expresses this, walk in the Spirit, at Galatians 5:25. He says this, if we live by the Spirit, which we do, if you're in Christ, you live by the Spirit. He's put his Holy Spirit in you. He's made you a son or daughter. You are alive to God in the Spirit. Before, you were dead. You had no spiritual impulse toward God. You were spiritually dead. But now, because the Spirit is in you, you live. So if you live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. You've got a new covenant. You've got a new mindset. So you should keep in step with the Spirit. Imagine a child who's going to go out and he's going to walk in the snow. Maybe it's a deep snow like the ones we had last year, you know, 12 or 14 inches at once, just dumps on us. And this child is a small child. He's going to go out and walk in the snow. But he lets his dad go first. And his dad starts tromping through the snow. And as the dad goes, the child is able to follow along behind and put his little steps in his dad's big steps, right? And not only then does he know the direction he should go, but the dad's also made the way easier for the child who wouldn't be able to wade through that 14 inches of snow on his own. This is how the Holy Spirit works in our lives. It's not that he does all of the work for us, because that's not how God created us. He made us to be stewards. He made us to willingly submit to him. He made us to want to obey him. What the Holy Spirit does is he puts the want back where it should be. He makes it so that you can want what's right with God again, and then he empowers you to be able to do it. He unties your hands, because whereas before you were a slave to sin, you were tied up to sin. There was no way you were not going to sin. That was your destiny. The Holy Spirit has untied you so that now you can follow along behind where he's leading you. You can keep in step with the Spirit, because you've been made alive by the Spirit. This is how the Holy Spirit works in the lives of believers. He lays the foundation of a new covenant of relationship with God when he dwells in us, and then he gives us a new way to think, and then he says, I'm enabling you to walk in this new way of thinking. And as believers in Jesus, it's critical that we develop that relationship with the Holy Spirit, that we begin to think as the Holy Spirit would have us, and then that we begin to take the steps the Holy Spirit is leading us into as we learn to hear his voice and follow the impulse of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And when we fail at this, because we will, everybody does at some point, when you fail, don't return to the mindset of the flesh and death. Don't start thinking I'm condemned by God, because you're not earning your place with God. You're living out of your place with God. That's not an excuse, but we also know there is therefore now no condemnation. So live like a son or daughter of God. I want to ask you this. Where are you at in that progression with the Holy Spirit in your life tonight? Maybe you're still living a life that's stuck in sin. And you know that you've not even gotten out of that place. And up to this point in your life, you've given very little thought to God. You haven't wanted anything to do with him. In fact, you might even be able to describe your life as running and actively rebelling against God. Maybe you were raised in the church. You were raised in the Catholic church. You were raised in the Christian church and the Protestant church. And you got drugged to church. And you went through all that stuff. But you know that you were running from God. You didn't like it, you didn't want anything to do with it, and you were running from him. And so you find yourself in this place in your life where you are stuck in your sin. And tonight, maybe as we've been speaking, you've sensed God working in your heart and your life. Listen, I can't make God work, and guess what? You can't make God work. God works because he loves us. And he begins, when the gospel is preached, when you hear his word, he begins to let you know about what he's done for you. The Holy Spirit begins to speak to your heart and begins to awaken in you this realization, this opportunity for you to put your faith in Jesus. Here's what we know, that God loves you and that you've rebelled against God, but God loves you so much that he sent his son Jesus to die for you. He died so that you, by faith in Jesus, could die. That's why Jesus died. He died so that you could see his death and that you could find your death in him, that you could say, I need to die as well. I need to die to sin. And since Jesus died for my sin, I can by faith join him and his death becomes my death. I can die to sin in Jesus. But Jesus didn't just die. He was raised from the dead. On the third day, God raised him from the dead. It's witnessed to in the scriptures and by the Spirit's activity in the world today that Jesus is alive. And if you will believe that, then you can be alive too. Not only can you die to your past, but you can live to God tonight if you will trust Jesus. And so if you're at that place where you've not even begun this, there's not even a foundation, you're just still stuck in sin, tonight there's freedom for you if you will believe in Jesus. He will not only forgive your past sins, he will give you hope and a future. He will give you a living hope that sets you free to live for God from here on out. And so if that's you, you don't have that relationship with God through Jesus, what I want you to do is this. We're going to pray in just a moment, but I want you so that we can recognize who you are. We can send you some free resources and help you to understand, how do I follow Jesus? I want you to text the word hope to 413-300-6061. Would you just text that word hope to 413-300-6061 so that we can follow up with you and give you some resources to help you to understand, how do I follow Jesus? How do I be free from sin? But tonight, if that's you, I want to pray for you. So would you just make this your prayer? Father, in Jesus' name, I confess that I'm a sinner, and I know that I need you. I repent of my sin. I turn away from it, and I pray that you would forgive me. I ask that you'd make me new in Jesus. I believe he died for my sin so that I can die to my sin. And I believe that that you raised him from the dead so that I can be raised up as well, so I can have spiritual life, and so that one day I can be raised from the dead and have eternal life with you. Please make me new. I give you my life in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, if you prayed that prayer or you wish you would have texted hope to 413-300-6061, maybe you've been trying to earn your place in God's family and you're failing. You've got a relationship with Jesus. You've prayed the prayer. Maybe you've even had that witness of the Spirit in your life, but you need to know that you're under a new covenant. You've been living a life where you feel like you're condemned and you're trying to earn your place in God's family. And so for just a moment, believers, would you just close your eyes? And if you're at home, I guess you don't have to close your eyes because you're not going to see anyway, but if that's you, if you're saying, I need to know that I'm under a new covenant, that I'm not condemned by God, that I'm a son or a daughter, and I'm not trying to earn my place in the family. Would you just lift up your hand to the Lord tonight, and I'm gonna pray for you. If that's you, you wanna say, I need to know that I'm part of God's family and that I don't have to earn my place there. I need to be out from under that condemnation. Anybody like that? I'm gonna pray, and if you're watching online and that's you, I'm gonna pray for you too. Father, in Jesus' name, you know who is in this place. They need to know that you love them and you've called them a son or a daughter. And I pray that tonight you would lay that foundation of understanding in their hearts, that because they've given their life to Christ, they are now right with you through Jesus. And I pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit would speak to them and confirm in their lives right now that they're not living under condemnation, that they don't have to walk in guilt, that they don't have to walk in the shame of their past, but that you have freed them and that they can walk as a son or daughter of you. In Jesus' name, amen. Are you struggling with your old mindset? Maybe this is where you're at in the progression. You know you're under a new covenant, but man, the railroad tracks the train seems to be on the wrong tracks in your mind sometime, and you're still thinking the way you once thought. Your mindset is on the flesh. You need to learn to think according to that mind of the Spirit in your life, to have a new pattern laid down. So one more time, would you just close your eyes? If that's you, you'd say, I need to have the mindset of the Spirit in my life. I'm thinking too much according to the flesh. I sense those impulses of the flesh in my life. And I want to know the mindset of the Spirit in my heart. I want to have a new pattern of thinking. If that's you, would you just lift up your hand so that I can pray with you and for you? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for those who have raised their hands and they want to know this new mindset of the Holy Spirit. Lord, you said it's theirs through faith. Your word says that you've given us the mind of Christ. And so, Father, I ask in the name of Jesus, that you'd help them to be able to receive that and that you would give them the grace to begin to think that way. I pray that tonight as they go, they would be saying to themselves, I am dead to sin. And I am alive to God in Christ Jesus. I pray, Lord, that they would no longer be thinking according to the patterns of their flesh, of their old sinful life, but instead, Lord, they would set their minds on things above and on Christ who's seated at your right hand. We love you and thank you for that. Keep your eyes closed for just a minute. Maybe you'd say, I'm walking according to the impulses of my flesh. I know I've got a new covenant. I've got a new foundation in Jesus, but I also... And I know there's a new mindset, and sometimes I even think the right way, but I'm still finding in this area of my life or that area of my life that I'm giving into the impulses of my flesh, and I'm not actually living out the thinking of the Holy Spirit in my life. If that's you, and you want to die to those fleshly impulses, and you want to walk in the Spirit tonight, I want to pray for you too. So would you just lift up your hand, whether you're here or at home, and I want to pray for you. Heavenly Father, you know those who are struggling with some impulse of their flesh, some pull, some old habit, some old way of doing things. And Father, I thank you so much that you've given us a new way to walk in Jesus. I thank you, Lord, that since we are alive by the Spirit, we can now keep in step with the Holy Spirit. I ask, Lord, that you grant us the grace to know that you have freed us. And I pray that by faith, we would begin to put our footsteps where the Holy Spirit is leading. I pray that you would grant your grace that we would see that we would sense that urge of the Holy Spirit in our lives, and that when we do, we would not hesitate, but we would go with the way of the Spirit. Help us, Lord, when we're faced with that decision and we feel the impulse of our flesh, but we also know the voice and the whisper of the Spirit in our hearts. Give us the strength, Lord, to say, I want to follow the Spirit. I'm going to keep in step with the Spirit today. We love you, Lord. We thank you for that. We thank you that all that we've prayed for tonight is by your grace, that we don't do anything to earn it or deserve it, but that you enable it by your Spirit through faith. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for that. It's in Jesus' name we pray and we believe. Amen.